chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22. And we're going to be looking at verses number 35 through 40. While you're turning there, everybody say, love your neighbor. Look at somebody, tell them, love your neighbor. Matthew chapter 22, verses 35 through 37. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said to him, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. May God continue to bless and sanctify his word into our hearts. You may be seated. We're going to talk about love your neighbor, love your neighbor. And let me ask a question as we start this. How many of you all know your neighbors? Okay. Now, I'm going to confess, I don't know everybody in my neighborhood. And some of you all are probably the same way, living around folk for 20 years and don't even know them. Yeah, them folks down the street. And that will be a relevant question to ask, and we will be asking that at some point during the sermon. But you've got to think about your neighbor when it comes to your service to God. We like to think about our church member, but God said, I want you to love your neighbor. Now, whatever prompted this lawyer, this person who was an expert in the law of Moses, the Torah, whatever prompted him to go to Jesus, it was certainly not what you call a genuine Christian. He was really trying to trick Jesus to say the wrong thing or give the wrong reply. So he asked the question, okay, Jesus, I want to hear it from you. What do you consider the greatest of all the commandments? And Jesus said to him, this is it. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. In other words, you got to give God everything. You can't give God your life in bits and pieces. You got to give him everything because as Lloyd was telling us a little while ago, you're going to need him. You're going to need the Lord. And it's good to know that if you have this love relationship with God, that you'll be able to love him back. The only thing that we can do is respond to God's love. You cannot make God love you because he already loved you from the beginning. Before that little baby Aria was born, God loved her, had a plan for her. Are y'all still here? Knew her before her parents even before the child was conceived. God knew her and loved her. That's how amazing God's love is. What an awesome God we have. Wow, how he loves us. And so the only thing that you can do that makes any sense is to love him back, to respond to him, to say that he is Lord. But as we look at this passage and as we look at how Jesus responded to this lawyer who had asked him the question, what is the great commandment? Jesus did not stop with simply saying, well, okay, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. He went on to say, and the second command. Wait a minute, hold on. He only asked for one, but Jesus said, I'm going to give you the bonus. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And he said also in that verse that this second commandment is like the first one. Did you get that? You can't love your neighbor halfway. You can't love him when you get good and ready. Are y'all still in the house? And as we explore this today, we want to find out what does it mean to love your neighbor? Now, I'm going to tell you the first person that God preached this sermon to was me. Because I had some neighbors that I wasn't too keen about. You know? I had some neighbors that I was saying to myself, Man, I wish they weren't my neighbors. Let's be real, right? So we got to find out who are these neighbors and how should we love them. And I learned so much about God's love because you and I do not have the capacity to love anybody without the love and the grace of God that is shared abroad in your heart. So watch this. If you get the love of God and you don't give the love of God, then I would question whether you got it at all. Did y'all hear that? So if you have the love of God, say you know the love of Jesus and you can't share the love of Jesus, then something is wrong with your faith. You've got a disconnect. You're not really loving God the way that you should love God. Now, let's talk about loving ourselves. Love your neighbor how? As you love yourself. So let's call that the extent of this love, all right? We're going to call that, how much should I love my neighbor? Well, love them the way you love yourself. I did a little research. We love ourselves a whole lot, okay? And you wonder how much time do people spend in the mirror? A lot of time. Here's what the research said. Michaela McKenzie wrote an article entitled, "This is how much you will spend on beauty products in your lifetime." Not toiletries, not things that you need, beauty products. So she said in her article, based on her research, that the average woman would spend nearly $250,000 on beauty products. Wow, that's a lot of money. About $4,000 a year. Hold on, wait a minute. I'm gonna get to the men first. I'm gonna get to the men next. $4,000 a year on beauty products to look good. Watch this. Men will spend an average of $175,000 over their lifetime, or $3,100 a year, not on deodorant, but on beauty products. Looking good in the mirror. Pampering yourself. That's a lot. So when you say, well, how much do you love? You love yourself a whole lot. Think about what if you took half of that and gave it maybe to your neighbor. Wouldn't that be something else? Wouldn't that make a difference in the world? So yeah, we know how to love ourselves. We know how to pamper ourselves. We know, you know, if we don't look good, we're going to sure try. y'all still here? So the extent of the love, God gave us this wonderful capacity to love. It would be ashamed if we loved God but did not love our neighbor. Now, I want to tell you something. Let's be real. All your neighbors ain't nice. Matter of fact, some of y'all got some bad. I got a good neighborhood. Now, this might get on Facebook, so I gotta boost up my neighborhood. How do you love your neighbor? And the point that Jesus was making, the point that he is sharing with us, you cannot say that you're fulfilling the commandment of God and loving God without loving your neighbor. That love has to be expressed. Love is not something that you say you have. You have to express it. It's not the noun we're looking for, it's the verb. We're not looking for the title of love. We're looking, you know, and people say, I love everybody. Are you sure? Because you're going to need God's help to love folk. You're going to need God's strength to help you. Not only is it a thing of where we look at the extent of love, but we also look at the purpose of this love. Listen to what Jesus said. Jesus said in the second command, it is like the first, love God, but also love your neighbor. And then he went on to say, for in this you fulfill all the law and the prophets. Everything that's written in the law of Moses can be summed up with two things. Love God and love your neighbor. You can't say God's going to give me an exemption on this one because this neighbor I got, hey, they ain't doing this. He didn't say you got excuses. He didn't say you got passes. Now, how many of y'all know that we're living in a hateful world? Say yes. But if you have the capacity to love, here's the point. Your love is going to be greater than the force of hate. Your love can conquer kingdoms. Your love can bring about change, lasting change, that God will be glorified in. So let's look at this thing. Let's look at, amen, who is my neighbor? Say it with me, who is my neighbor? Now, you would assume that your neighbor would be the people that you tend to pick. Right? That's my neighbor because that's the one that I like. So the first point I want to make is you can't choose your neighbor. You cannot choose it. And to prove this point, to let you know that Jesus was really saying to us is something that you don't have control over, but only God can control what we call your neighborhood. Remember Mr. Rogers? Beautiful day in the neighborhood. But some of your neighbors might not be that beautiful or that wonderful. So we got to ask ourselves, who is my neighbor? And the point is, you cannot choose your neighbor. Jesus said something in Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 through 45. He said, you have heard that you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you and do good to them that hate you and pray for those who despitefully use you and persecute you that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. So in doing this, Jesus is saying the neighbor is not just that person that you love and they love you back. It could be that person that is your enemy. Love your enemy. Another portion of scripture says, love your enemy, for in doing that, you heap coals of fire on their head. It burns into their conscience because you are doing what they need to do. So Jesus expanded the neighborhood, and it now includes people who are strange, people that you may not care for. And God taps you on the shoulder and says, hey, that's your neighbor. Now, what am I doing in my almost retirement? I'm getting to know who my neighbors are. All right, so if you can't choose your neighbor, and your neighbor might even be your enemy, then you're going to need some help, which points right back to the first command, you love God. Because if you love God, he's going to fill your life with joy. How many know that? If you love God, he's going to give you strength where you're weak. If you love God, God's love is going to be shed abroad in your heart through the power of the Holy Spirit. God's going to give you that capacity. So you cannot choose your neighbor. Second thing you can't do, you can't choose how to love your neighbor. Oh, man. Oh, here we go. Here we go. Why can't I just smile at him? Number one, you're wearing a mask these days, right? This is what Jesus said in Luke chapter 10 and verse 30 through 37. Matter of fact, another person came to Jesus and said, Lord, who is my neighbor? Who is my neighbor? And Jesus responded by telling this story about the one who was on his way from Jerusalem to Jericho. They were on the Jericho road and they fell among thieves. Remember that? Luke chapter 10, verse 30 through 37. He fell among thieves. Three people passed by. One was a priest. Under the Jewish law, you know, they had the priests who would go in and do ceremonies and teach the law and all of those things. And so the priest came by. You might call him a preacher. Okay, here comes Dr. So-and-so and the good reverend. And he passes by on the other side. He just goes by, sees the man wounded, knows he's been robbed, and does nothing about it. So much for the neighborhood. Second one to pass by was a Levite. You might call them a temple worker. You might say that they were in the temple and they were working to help make sure that things would go on, the business of the church and all of that. He came by, went over and looked at the guy. Man, you in bad shape, bro. I'm glad I ain't you. Got on the other side and went on his way. The last one that stopped by was a Samaritan. Now, in case y'all don't know in our culture what a Samaritan was, Jews hated Samaritans. Number one, they were all culturally mixed up. They were messed up, kind of like, you know, somebody in our community that we don't care a whole lot. It's like your unfavorite cousin who comes to the family reunion, and you know every time they're going to mess up the family reunion because they've been. All right? So the Samaritan, being a hated person by the Jews, comes in, sees the man in his condition, begins to administer first aid, gets him back together, puts him on his horse, goes to the next town, and buys him a room, pays the man his due, or then how many days he's going to stay now. He says, I'm coming back, and when I come back, I'm going to also repay you, and I'll take care of him from that point on. Jesus looked at the man who'd asked the question and said, now, of these three, which one was the neighbor? And he said, the one who showed mercy. I don't need a neighbor who's going to come by every now and then. I need you to come by when I'm sick. I need you to come by when I need help. Now, I know you're saying, Lord, here they come again. What do they want this time? Well, you might be that person in need one of these days. And you're going to need a good neighbor. Everybody said, like a good neighbor. See, when you got a good neighbor that you know you can count on, you know, in other words, they might be nosy, but they watching to take care of your stuff. When you go out of town, they can tell you everybody that's been up and down your street. Yeah, they knows it, but they still a good neighbor. Look at somebody, tell them they're a good neighbor, a good neighbor. It depends on what the need is. What if we had a world of good neighbors? What if we had a world that would say, you know what, I'm not going to judge people. My neighbor might be a Hindu. Oh, it got quiet in here. My neighbor might be a Muslim. My neighbor might be an atheist. But I got enough love of Jesus in my heart to love my neighbor. Look at somebody, tell them, love your neighbor. I'm about to close up here. I'm getting ready to close because I'm getting happy. I'm getting happy. Why should we love our neighbor? Why should we love our neighbor? Not only is it a thing of need, but it's also a thing of where you can't choose them. They choose you. But then you got to look at how can I not, or how can I love my neighbor? Not why, but how can I love my neighbor? Here's what it says in the book of James, and we got a whole lot of faith folk. They got faith that can move mountains, but can't help their neighbor. Oh, I got great faith. James will tell us in James chapter 2, he tells us that if you're going to love your neighbor, verse 8, if you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as what? Yourself. You do well. And then in verse 15 through 17 says, if a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily bread, watch this, and you, instead of you helping them, you tell them, oh, God bless you. Oh, here's the good one. Here's the good Christian one. I'm going to pray for you. No, bro, I don't need you to pray for me. I need you to give me a couple of dollars. How's that? He said, James tells us that if you tell them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them of those things that are needed for their body, what does it profit? Even so, faith, if it does not work, is dead. Being alone. Loving your neighbor is going to require action on your part. It will require commitment on your part. It will require dedication. And here's the other thing. It's going to require a whole lot of patience. A whole lot of patience. Had a homeless person we were supposed to be going and see about him. You know, so I brought him food. You know what they tell me? You ain't asked me what I wanted. I said, Like a good neighbor. You can't let folk get on your nerve. You got to know why you're doing it and who you're doing it for. You got to know that God is real. There are a lot of people that will put you to your edge, and you feel like saying something that ought not to be said, but you got to be the good neighbor. What I'm asking you to do today is make a commitment this week and going forward. Be that good neighbor. Be that good neighbor, because when you needed strength, when you needed help, you had a good neighbor. I thank God for Christians who came by and saw that I needed Christ, and they witnessed to me. They were a good neighbor. They knew that the life I was living was taking me down the wrong path, but thank God they told me something about this man, and his name is Jesus. I want to tell you something. Jesus is the good neighbor. He's the one that loves you far more than what you could ever love. First of all, he left his home in glory, came down to this earth because he wanted to expand the Father's neighborhood. He wanted to make sure that everybody had a chance. And the most wonderful scripture in the Bible is the one that says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Jesus is that good neighbor. He's that good neighbor. When he would walk across the neighborhood and he would see blind eyes, he would heal them, give them sight, because he was the good neighbor. When Jesus saw those who were lame and needed strength, he was the good neighbor, and he provided for their need. He preached the gospel to the poor. He lifted up those that were burdened down. Everybody say, Jesus is the good neighbor. He's the good neighbor. Jesus went to Calvary to save a wretch like you and me. Amen. That's a good neighbor. Some of us won't even go next door sometime. Come on, talk to me in here. But I'm thankful that Jesus not only went to Calvary to bear my sin, but he rose again on the third day to proclaim all power is given unto me. And guess what Jesus did? So he knew you were in a bad neighborhood. And you know what he said? I go away to prepare a place for you. Rod, what he wants to do is to give us a place in his neighborhood. But you know what he says? If you will own me in your neighborhood, I'll take you to mine when this life is over. How many of y'all know that? Amen. And I'm so glad that this world is not it. This is not the home that we're looking for. I'm looking for a better home. But while I'm here, I want to make a difference. And you know what I said to myself? If Jesus could be a good neighbor and he's going to give me strength, I'm going to be somebody's good neighbor. Amen. I'm going to try to tell people what's right. I'm going to try to do good by them. And by the grace of God, I'm committed to being that good neighbor. Here's the point. If you are the good neighbor, guess what God's going to do? He's going to reward you. Who wouldn't serve a God like that? Who gives us a reward for doing that which we should have been doing all along. Like a good neighbor, Jesus is there. Like a good neighbor, Jesus will come by your side. Like a good neighbor, he'll bear your burdens. Amen. I know State Farm. As a matter of fact, I got State Farm. And they tell me, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. But you miss your payment one time, State Farm gonna drop you like a hot potato. But I know somebody who will never drop you. I know somebody who will always pick you up. Amen. He picked up Lord Irvin. Like a good neighbor, Jesus is there. When you trust in him, he'll take you by the hand and lead you every step of the way. Look up to heaven and say, Lord, thank you that you are that good neighbor. Thank you that you're my good neighbor. He will take care of you. I'm done preaching. I could go on and on and preaching about Jesus being a good neighbor. And I was on my way to hell. Ah, like a good neighbor, he stopped by. This week, ask yourself, Lord, I'm saying Lord, and you can be praying, asking yourself at the same time, who can I be a good neighbor to? You don't have to worry about looking for them. The Lord's going to send them. We live in a world of need. What I'm asking you to do, be that good neighbor. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for loving us. And Lord, we know that we were not fit to be in your neighborhood, but you changed us. You redeemed us by the blood of Christ. And Lord, I'm so thankful that I'm a child of God. Lord, I'm praying for opportunities to be that good neighbor, to let somebody know that Jesus is real. For that person that may be online, or those persons that may be in the parking lot and listening, for those who will be listening later through the airwaves of the radio, I pray, God, that they would consider being that neighbor, loving them and helping them to find Christ. And if you don't know Christ, come to know him today. Embrace his love, receive his joy, and know that like a good neighbor, Jesus is always there. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. I want to extend the invitation. A wonderful thing of knowing Christ and coming to him, you cannot change yourself. Let Christ change you and make you that good neighbor. The invitation is given, the doors of the church are open. Jesus said, whosoever will, let him come. With everyone,